Yes. Hello and welcome to the very special grand final edition of NRL Live, episode 31. We're going to talk about the qualifying finals, the season review of Manly and South's, West Tigers fallout, plus the listener question is back this week, and of course we're going to preview the grand final. And St. Peter's got his best of the year for World of Sports. Speaking of the man, how are you, Pete?
Very good, Paulie G. How are you, mate?
Doing well, doing well. We are without our offsider, Tigers MS, tonight. He couldn't make this show. He did record a very special edition of West Tigers Live with myself, which is already on the website, www.pauliegsports.com. So I really recommend, even if you're not a West Tigers fan, but I mean, with all the stuff happening there, which we'll talk about a little bit tonight, it is definitely worth a listen and go to the website and get the info that's already posted on there. But I've got a little bit of he did do a bit of a recording for us when we get to our grand final preview, so I can play that for you tonight as well, so we know what he also thinks of the game. But speaking of such things, last week, Melbourne 40, far too good for Manly 12. They pretty much saved their worst performance for last, the Eagles. While Saturday night, Canterbury 32 defeated Souths 8. Scoreboard wasn't really a reflection of the game, I thought. The Rabbitohs hung in there quite well, looked strong until Adam Reynolds went off, and then Canterbury piled on the points towards the end of the match. But definitely deserved winners. Pete, is that the way you saw Saturday night?
Yes, yeah, I did, Paulie G. I was actually out there with some Bulldog supporting mates. So I was right in the middle of the bedlam of the kennel, you might say. extremely noisy. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Canterbury, by far the better team on the night, but certainly South's very brave, particularly after the loss of Reynolds at the 35-minute mark. That was a tragedy for the young fellow. He's had a great season.
Yeah, it really did cruel any opportunity they had of winning the game. Two other games on that night, of course, was in the National Youth Cup. The West Tigers, 28, overcoming the Sydney Roosters, 22, and Canberra Raiders, 44. Unfortunately, too good for your mob, Pete, St. George Illawarra, 16. You saw both of those games as well, of course, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But the Raiders, in particularly impressive.
Absolutely, yeah, though. Yeah, they were just a class above the Dragons on the day. Put on some points late in the first half and just ran away with it the second. Dragons way too much drop ball.
And finally on Sunday in the New South Wales Cup out at Leichhardt Oval, Balmain ride eastward Tigers 26, defeated Newcastle 24, and the Newtown Jets, which is the Sydney Roosters feeder club, 34, smashing the minor premiers Canterbury 6. And in the New South Wales Cup, that means that 7th is playing 8th. Amazingly enough, they've also using the new final system that's used in the NRL. NRL, we see 1v2. New South Wales Cup, we see 7v8. I guess they don't do home field advantage in New South Wales Cup. They've played a lot of the games at Leichhardt Oval. Balmain maybe a leg up through that. Is the home field really that much of an impact on this new final series, Pete, or was that just dumb luck?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, mate. The NRL, first grade competition, we've got the best two teams there, without a doubt. I don't think really that the home ground is much of an advantage these days, particularly the Canterbury, Souths and Roosters, for example, if they're playing at the larger venues. I'd be interested to scrutinise those results in New South Wales Cup a little bit more.
There's no doubt that at least in regards to the Tigers, that they got a few players back towards the end of the year, the Ray Cashmeres and Junior Moores, had plenty of first grade experience, and they helped get the side there. And also between first and eighth in the minor premiership, there's only 5 points difference. So very tight at the top in the New South Wales Cup all year. And both those teams, Newtown and Balmain, have gone on a huge run, and it should be a good game. Both of the games should be good. We'll talk about it briefly in a short while, but let's go to the Friday night game. Manly really were no match for Melbourne. We're going to do their season review right now. I thought that obviously that was a bad game for them, but through the year they probably were a little bit inconsistent as well, didn't finish teams off, but they just seemed to lack a bit of killer instinct. And I thought their halves Cherry Evans and Foran regressed a little bit from last year where they won the premiership. But in the flip side, the highlights, Jeff Tuvey did keep them on the right track, I thought. Losing Hasler, the season had a potential to bust in the off-season because it was a lot of turmoil, but it didn't. They still got a top-four finish. Jamie Lyon was simply outstanding. He just seems to get better with age, like a good wine. And I also thought that Glenn Stewart had a very good year. He plays almost like a second 5/8 for them, similar to what a John Sutton or a Wade Graham. He's very good, and even though he plays for New South Wales, he's still very underrated, I think. Pete, how could you sum up Manly season in a couple of sentences?
Yeah, I feel a little bit for Jeff Tuvey, actually. He was on a bit of a hiding to nothing, taking over the premiership-winning team.
Yeah.
As you said, he did keep them on track pretty well.
Yeah.
I thought that really looking back and over, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but the last 6 or 8 weeks of the premiership, Manly, as you say, were not finishing off teams at all. I remember a classic game against, well, a classic example of that, the Brookvale Oval where Parramatta were playing Manly, and Manly just shot it to about a 28-30-point lead.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought, I came down to watch it because I thought, oh, how close, you know, what sort of score is this going to be? I saw looking at a 60-0 type of scenario.
Yes.
And Parramatta, they let Parramatta right back into it.
And it ended up being 40-24.
That continued on with the rest of the home and away rounds. And then in the finals, yeah, young Cherry Evans and Foran, I thought, they did not play well in those 3 games in the finals against Canterbury. No. I thought they had the opportunities to win that game. The Cowboys are very lucky to win, and Friday night was kind of falling full stop for their season.
Yeah, that's definitely the area where they need improvement, but the advantage for both those players, they are young, and for Manly, obviously. And Jeff Tuvey is a former halfback himself, played at a very high level there in as a number 7 and later as a number 9 as well. But, you know, he should be able to get the best out of them, you would think. And South Sydney, we already spoke about the Saturday night game, but looking at their season as a whole, I thought the highs were just the matter of that they were competitive, first time in a long time. Obviously, Greg Inglis, he's really a X factor for them, one of the top players in the game. And obviously their coach, Michael Maguire, and still that toughness that has been missing. Mick Crocker is an epitome of that. I thought he had an outstanding year. And Adam Reynolds, a rookie of the year. We spoke about him at the start of the show. He, there's nothing better you can say about that. I've got him for Origin potentially next year. The lows, well, they didn't match it with the best teams, I thought. They lacked confidence at times, and their secondary playmaker role was questionable once the ball either went away from Adam Reynolds or, in the case of last week, he was off injured. I thought guys like Dave Taylor and John Sutton, big players with a lot of ability, they performed well against the weaker teams, very well, in fact, but they went missing a little bit against some of the stronger teams. Pete, what was your take on the South Sydney season?
Absolutely. Michael Maguire, I thought, I know Desi Hasler got coach of the year, but I thought that Michael Maguire was really, would have been an extremely worthy recipient. He's done a fantastic job coming back over from England. You know, it was funny because he was the second choice coach there for South Sydney. They chased Wayne Bennett very hard and ended up getting Michael Maguire. I thought he did a really excellent job. He's, as I said, Adam Reynolds. There aren't enough superlatives to describe that young kid's season.
Yeah.
Calmness under pressure. I remember him beating a winning field goal in extra time against the Dragons earlier in the year.
Mm.
Kicking game was superb.
Goal-kicking is very good as well.
Absolutely fantastic. Who would have thought this time last year we'd be thinking that the departure of Chris Sander would be a blessing in disguise?
Not even in disguise, mate. That was a full-on blessing.
I wonder where Adam Reynolds would have ended up. And so,
yeah,
he's a bunny junior, and I hope they keep him for a long time. I know that, as you said, Sutton did go missing in some games this year. I thought he tried hard the other night when Reynolds went off.
Yeah.
But at least he's certainly been a lot better. This guy has got extreme potential, and I'd rate the season probably a 7.5 or maybe an 8 out of 10, whereas previously he'd rate about a 6, I think.
Yeah. I do think he's more of a back rower, a ball-playing back rower, personally. So thrust into the 5/8 role, he obviously made as good a fist of it, I think, as he could have. Dave Taylor, on the other hand, well, he's going to Gold Coast anyway, so it's something that the Titans are going to have to try to figure out how they get the best out of this guy. They've already got another player up there in Jamal Idris, who has all the talent in the world and is unable to perform consistently on the park. So now they're going to have two project players. But in their corner is the fact that another project player from the past, Nate Miles, is now a genuine top-level player. He performs week in, week out. So I guess if they got it out of Miles, they might get it out of those two as well, in particular Dave Taylor. We must move on. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, West Tigers Live, a very special edition this weekend. It's already up on the website, www.pauliegsports.com. Tigers MS and myself did it earlier today. And we spoke about the fact that Tim Sheens is no longer with the organisation as a head coach. Now, he may still be involved with the club. He has been offered a position, depending on what you read, if it's from the Daily Telegraph and the Fox outlets, you would believe that he's been offered the role purely to get around signing the paying him out his full contract, and there isn't a role for him next year. If you're to read maybe the Fairfax papers, they're suggesting no, it is legitimate that they want him to be involved possibly as a director of coaching or something similar. Stephen Humphrey sent out an email today to all West Tigers members. It's the full transcript of that email is on our website, so if you're interested in it, you can read it there. I will just find a couple of little snippets about it, about the whole situation and what he wrote. He said, there has been plenty of speculation in the media about a number of things, including the future of our head coach, as well as contractual issues with various players. Having gone through a very thorough process, I can advise you that the board of West Tigers has decided to restructure the club's football operations, and this restructure will include the appointment of a new NRL coach for 2013. The board has expressed a strong desire for current head coach Tim Sheens to remain at the club in a senior role. He does also speak about how well he has got along with Tim Sheens in the past, and that he feels that they are privileged to have someone of his calibre as the head coach over the last decade, and gives him credit for the 2005 Premiership success. He also speaks about some of the players. In relation to player issues, it is with regret that I confirm to you that Chris Hyington will be leaving the club. As sometimes happens in professional sport, Chris received a very generous offer from a rival club. After considering his options, Chris requested a release from the final year of his West Tigers contract in order to accept this offer. Out of respect for Chris and everything he's done for our club, we decided to grant him his request. He says they will miss him dearly. He was an outstanding clubman. Then he also goes on to say, I can also confirm that Bo Ryan has advised us that he will be joining the Cronulla Sharks from 2013. We were surprised and disappointed to hear of Bo's decision. It certainly wasn't our preference. Bo knows that we wanted him in our club for the next 3 years, but ultimately he has made his decision. We thank him for his wholehearted commitment and contribution to West Tigers. So it does go on to talk a little bit about what their future is and looking at membership drive, etc., etc. That mentions also the two teams that are in the grand final this weekend in the under-20s in New South Wales Cup. But like I said, you can find it all on our website. It is very, very interesting what is going on over at West Tigers at Concord right now. Pete, from an outsider's perspective, what do you make of what is happening at that club?
First of all, I thought it was very interesting that Mr. Humphreys used the expression bow nose in the email.
It's funny.
But, in all seriousness, it looks like a real worry, and it's sort of that they're sacking him, but they can't afford to let him go. I really don't see how that situation can work, and I don't know whether any other coach would want to have a big experienced guy like Tim Sheens looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, it could have a scenario
Who would have the authority if you bring in a young, inexperienced coach? Like, there's been rumours of Matt Parrish, who hasn't had any standalone first grade experience being the coach. How would he feel with Tim Sheens looking over his shoulder?
Look, it's going to be hard to say that if it does work out. I mean, maybe you're looking at a situation like Phil Gould does out at Penrith. I'm not really too sure. Obviously, it, you know, it smacks of something that's been, that has been slapped together because of the manner it's happened. Look, both Tigers NMS and I have said that, you know, it is time for Sheen to transition into this sort of role. He's so good at nurturing a club and the juniors and getting the right atmosphere and the right programs in place, kind of like Brian Smith does. But, you know, obviously, eventually is going to come a time where maybe he's going to step away from that grind of the day-to-day coaching. This is not the way that it needed to be done or should have been done. So, you know, if it works out, great. But I'm very sceptical at this point that it will. I would be surprised if Sheens is there in that capacity next year. We'll know more next week. We'll talk about it not only on this show, NRL Live, but also on West Tigers Live, the season review, which will happen next week. And, of course, you can download those on our website, www.paulygsports.com, or for up-to-date information, follow me on Twitter, at Paulie G Sports. We'll be tweeting it out as we get the news.